Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down, my blood sugar is down, my weight's down, my health is up, my sleeping patterns are better, my metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Hello, American. Happy Wednesday. A quiet day in Washington thus far. A lot of maneuvers in some of the criminal cases involving President Trump and Hunter Biden. You can check all the latest details out at justthenews.com. Today, I'm going to focus on two big issues. One is what's going on in the polling? What are the tectonic plates below the political landscape of America? How are they shifting? And are these conversations, this polling data that shows President Trump up in the majority of battleground states real? Are there coalitions dissolving for Democrats and resolving for Republicans? Are Black and Hispanic voters moving to Donald Trump's way? There's a lot of data out there suggesting it. I thought we'd turn to President Trump's own pollster, John McLaughlin, for a good conversation on that. We'll have that in the second half of the show. The top of the show, I want to talk to Congressman Warren Davidson. A lot of Americans look and say, I don't think I got what I asked for when I voted for Republicans to take over the House at the 2022 election. And I think Warren Davidson would agree with most voters that they didn't get what they wanted. He's still fighting to try to get it. He's going to give us a really profound update on what's going on at all of the committees in Congress. Is there any border deal to be had? Doesn't sound like it, but maybe he'll know something. He'll also give us a good update on spending. We continue to go up in spending. What will the Ukraine supplemental spending bill look like? How much more will it add to the deficit? We're already closing in on $2 trillion for the fiscal 2024 year, which would be one of the largest deficits ever, except for COVID. So we're in a non-COVID year, non-pandemic year. What's going on with that? We're going to learn a lot from Congressman Davidson. He's a straight talker. He gives us real data, what his colleagues are talking about, what he thinks they should be talking about and aren't, and what he thinks of Speaker Mike Johnson, which I think a lot of people are starting to scratch their head about on the Republican side. I think the Democrats like him. And so he has created some bipartisan deals. He has kept the government open. Not everybody is happy about that. Some aren't. But I think Congressman Davidson will give us the skinny on all of that. So we got a really good show. There's a lot of fun stories out there. And I want to just point to one of them that we did overnight, because it's a little story that speaks volumes about just how much Joe Biden has impacted all of our lives here in America. Every president does. I'm not suggesting he's unique. But Northwestern Mutual out of Milwaukee, it's a big insurance company. It's been around for a long time. They do this annual report on how much Americans think they're going to need to save. These are working Americans. They're going to need to save in order to retire. And under President Trump, in the final year of the Trump administration, people thought they would need less than $1 million to retire. Yeah, you know, it's between your pension and your Social Security and your 401k and IRAs, right? That figure has jumped 53% in 3 years, 53% since Joe Biden got in office. It's now up to 1.46 million. So not only are the groceries, the rent, and the gasoline going up because of inflation, the price for your nest egg, your retirement nest egg, has gone way up, more than 50%, according to this study. That is something that when you talk about young people, they feel like they're never going to get the dream to have a home because interest rates and house prices are way up. Now you talk to retirees and you see, oh my gosh, they don't feel like they're going to be able to retire. They got to save another $500,000 before they can put the papers in compared to where they were just 4 years ago, 3 years ago. That is a profound data point and something I think all of us should take a look at. It's a really fascinating story. Charlotte Hazard wrote it. The headline is Nest Egg Inflation. Savings Americans think they'll need to retire soars 53% under Joe Biden, under the Biden presidency. That's a big story. Another one that I think is really important. Wisconsin voters last night, listen, Trump and Biden won easily. That's not unexpected. They're uncontested the rest of the way. But Wisconsin voters approved a constitutional amendment that bans private money going to election judges and election ministers, otherwise known as Zuckerbucks, the money that Mark Zuckerberg put into the 2020 election. In 4 years, this went from being widespread to now being banned by voters in the Wisconsin election. That's a big change, a win for a lot of people who think it was an election integrity threat, but a remarkable vote, both a very strong vote. It was well over 50% of the vote doing that. Jack Smith, he's got a little bit of heartburn about the judge in the Trump documents case because he thinks that the judge is wrong, that the president's papers that he kept should be considered personal. He thinks they should be considered government. Jack Smith does. Check that story out. That's a good story from Madeleine Hubbard that's getting attention. And Lauren Boebert underwent emergency surgery today, Congresswoman from Colorado. Always a lightning rod in Congress. She apparently had a blood clot in her leg due to a rare condition, needed emergency surgery. That also is getting a lot of attention on our Just the News website as well. So those are the headlines for today. We're going to come back in a few seconds with Congressman Warren Davidson. Before we do that, though, a quick shout out to one of my new partners here at Just the News, at John Solomon Reports, at Just the News, No Noise, Genesis Gold Group. I want to welcome them to our family and also remind you that in this time of great economic uncertainty, allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver, you can do it first tax-free as a rollover, but it creates a diversification and a protection that right now in these tipsy-topsy markets, you may not have. When you diversify, you can safeguard your holdings from turbulent markets and economic downturns. You get your IRA back on the gold standard. I know those of you who like Ron Paul and always like the gold standard, this is a way, maybe the government won't do it, but you can do it, right? You can put yourself on gold. With a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals, protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide. Call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD, gold, 800-200-GOLD, and find out how much you can save by adding precious metals to your IRA, how much protection you can give yourself. Now, one more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653, or gold, G-O-L-D, 800-200-4653, or you can go to their website, genesisgoldgroup.com. A big thank you to Genesis Gold Group for joining the Just the News family. Really excited to have them aboard. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Congressman Warren Davidson right after these messages.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
It's almost been 2 weeks since the House passed the $1.2 trillion federal spending package. Many of the lawmakers who oppose the minibus, as it's being called, are still airing their grievances with the legislation. Speaker Mike Johnson appears to be on the hot seat for pushing the bill through with just 24 hours notice. Whether or not he retains his post for the rest of the year remains to be seen. But a lot of the fiscal conservatives in Washington are working overtime right now to get some fiscal sanity back into this town. One of them is joining us right now. He's a congressman representing the great state of Ohio, Congressman Warren Davidson. Sir, good to have you on the show.
Yeah, always an honor to join you, John. Thank you.
We love having you because you always have ideas. You always are pushing to try to get this crazy spending to stop. Give us an update on where things stand. There's a lot going on behind the scenes, even though we're in congressional recess. Let us know what's going on.
Well, what's going on behind the scenes is, apparently a $1.9 trillion deficit, which is the size of the deficit this year, projected, isn't quite big enough. So they're planning on coming back and voting on a supplemental that'll get us up over a $2 trillion deficit. Wow. And so, you know, this wouldn't even necessarily fund America, although they're pitching it as, oh, no, it's great. All the defense contractors are going to make their stuff in America, so it'll be great for us. But it'll fund Ukraine's border security. It'll fund Israel's border security, which is a great cause. Unfortunately, the Biden administration is also planning to put a port into Gaza to fund the other side of the war. It'll fund Taiwan, and who knows what else it'll fund. But it isn't going to fix our border security, and it isn't going to deliver on the promise that Republicans always campaign on, which is a smaller government. And if we really had a party that was for smaller government, occasionally you would see a smaller government. But unfortunately, the reality is every Congress, it grows.
Congressman, on social media, to keep your sanity, people always say don't read the comments. But when you're a politician, you kind of have to, because you have to know what your constituents are thinking. And I'm just thinking with respect to spending, they're not reading the comments, because I see every single person who voted for this minibus, is their comment section is filled with voters who say, don't vote yes on this. We don't want this. This is not what we support. Are they just not listening?
Well, they know what to say. Virtually every Republican, you go check their campaign sites. This is kind of a pastime of mine every now and then when I have a debate with colleagues. Right. I'll go look up their campaign literature, and they all, some version of the phrase, you know, I support a smaller, more accountable government. But yet every Congress, we vote for a bigger, less accountable government. And if there are hearings or letters sent, there's no real action taken. And, you know, one of my good friends in Congress is Congressman Jim Jordan. He chairs the Judiciary Committee and this new weaponization committee. And I think he alone has sent more subpoenas than the entire rest of Congress. And, you know, that's the prerogative of a committee chairman. So, you know, the rest of us can basically plead for subpoenas to be sent, but we don't get to decide. So in some level, there's an accountability gap, but the real gap is delivering on the promise of a smaller government.
Yeah, and so many signs of its encroachment. The bigger government gets, the more encroaches on our liberty and our basic rights here. I want to ask, I mean, I think there are some innovative ideas that some of the fiscal conservatives are thinking of trying when they get back. Give us some thoughts about what, you know, there's a way to turn the Ukraine aid into loans, I guess. What are some of the things that could be done to lessen the burden on Americans? Because it seems like the appropriators, they just want to keep appropriating.
Yeah, look who blocked Jim Jordan from becoming speaker. It was the appropriators. I mean, right. The chairwoman and multiple of the cardinals, the people that lead the various divisions of appropriations, their objection was to Jim Jordan because they knew he would actually deliver on a smaller government, and they'd rather keep spending than have somebody who would, even if they were in the minority, than have somebody who would actually check spending. So that was very disappointing. And, you know, when it comes to Ukraine aid, the level of bipartisan support for this is off the charts. And so to kind of build momentum, they're like, well, what if we just seize all of Russia's assets wherever we can get access to Russian money? And then we transfer that money to Ukraine because Russia was clearly the aggressor in the conflict. And so that makes it a lot more palatable. It's like, well, if you want to spend Russia's money, that's different than if you want to spend my taxpayers' money. And so that's at least part of the solution. This is something called the Repo Act.
Yeah.
Incredible. Sir, I love how you deal with some people on social media. There was a recent report out that 25% of Gen Zers say that they need therapists to deal with tax filing stress. 54% of them said filing taxes has either brought them to tears in the past or recently, or it will this time around. You brought up an idea, something that you've already drafted and something that I know you are itching to get to the floor at some point someday. I don't know if many of your colleagues would support us, but tell us about your support of repealing the 16th Amendment.
Well, I think it's great news that the Gen Zers are distressed by paying income taxes, because I, too, hate the income tax. And originally, the country didn't have an income tax. They passed the 16th Amendment to make it legal to tax people's income. And it was originally just going to be for the really, really rich people. And of course, now it's hitting everybody. And even if you don't have a lot of income, you still have to file. So the government spies on everything. Like, did somebody pay you? Did you pay somebody? Did you buy or sell something? Did you make or lose money? Did you give a gift or receive a gift? Was the gift too generous? I'm like, get out of my life and get a warrant if you need to know all this stuff. It's way too much government. And for that reason, I've offered a bill to repeal the 16th Amendment. I would love to get a recorded vote on that.
Yeah, I think a lot of Americans would like to see where their member of Congress stands on that one. That could be a big one. Another one that I know is very close to your heart, and I know it was a big agenda item when Republicans took over in January 2023, FISA reform. It's kind of been just lingering there. Another deadline coming up this month. What are the chances of getting something meaningful done to protect civil liberties?
Yeah, I've continued to speak with, the speaker, with Chairman Jordan, who's chair of Judiciary Committee, and with Chairman Turner, who's the chair of the Intel Committee. And, you know, this bill has, in theory, it's a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, so it's an Intel bill. But there's a reason there's no Domestic Surveillance Intelligence Act. It's because Americans are supposed to be protected by the Fourth Amendment. And what's clear is American citizens' data are being swept up in this collection effort. So I think there's broad support for the surveillance on foreigners. But when it comes to U.S. citizens, we think you need to get a warrant. And so that's the base component of the judiciary bill. And then I've got an amendment that, you know, we hope to make in order that would be part of what we have is the Fourth Amendment's not for sale. It's an act that passed the Judiciary Committee 38-1. So this doesn't break on normal party lines. It's one of the only things in Congress right now that doesn't break down a Republican versus Democrat line. It's really, you know, more civil liberties versus national security. We're going to spy on you, but it's just to keep you safe. Don't worry. But it's, again, it's kind of a police state kind of thing. And it goes into the idea behind the Patriot Act. So we need to roll some of those things back and put some accountability on the intelligence agencies, which are clearly abusing the authority that they have.
Yeah. Congressman, something near and dear to your heart, manufacturing. Under the Trump administration, we saw billions of dollars worth of commerce and manufacturing repatriated because of a favorable climate. And now we are seeing basically the opposite. You've got H.R. 7171 that I know is near and dear to your heart because of some Ohio-based businesses, specifically Cleveland Cliffs. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so look, the administration, no secret, they're big fans of the Green New Deal. And this doesn't really hurt manufacturing per se. It just hurts it in America. You can't buy energy in America. You can't easily make steel. You can't mine. You can't do anything that's petrochemical-based. And the electrical grid is heavily favored by the supply chain that China's got. And if that wasn't bad enough, when we add extra demand onto our electrical grid, you say, okay, well, part of the infrastructure bill should be rebuilding America's infrastructure and growing our electrical grid and making it more secure. The main supplier of that steel is Cleveland Cliffs Uniform Grain Electrical Steel. And the Biden administration is in the process of having a rule that would outlaw uniform grain electrical steel and would go to something called amorphous electrical steel, which is made in Europe and China. So it would totally benefit other countries and hurt American production. The United Auto Workers and American industry are broadly united behind this. But the Green New Deal, climatologist, kind of its own cult religion, we can't have American manufacturing. It's bad for the climate. Never mind all the coal-fired power plants that are running China's manufacturing base.
All right, folks, don't go anywhere. When we come back, we'll have John McLaughlin, the pollster for President Trump. He's got a lot of interesting data to share with us. We'll have that right after these messages.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We thought we'd take some time to be joined by one of the best bolsters in politics. He has his finger on the pulse of what's really going on in the nation, and he's always got great data, great insights. By the way, he's also helping President Trump's campaign right now. Joining us right now, John McLaughlin. John, great to have you back on the show.
It's great to be back.
So it's kind of interesting. President Trump in two key battleground states. In a lot of the polls right now, he's up in those states, the Biden coalition from 2020 disintegrating. What do you see in the data in those two states? Should President Trump be optimistic?
Yes, because first of all, he stopped in Grand Rapids, and certainly Michigan's been moving our way because the Biden administration wants to ban the gas-fueled cars and trucks. So if any state that's important to their economy, it's Michigan still. And if you ban by mandate the gas-fueled cars and trucks, you're putting hundreds of thousands of people in Michigan out of work. And because those jobs are going to go to China, because China is the only one who can do electric cars with vehicles. They control the rare earth minerals. They control the battery production. So Biden, ironically, he took a call from President Xi today, and I'm sure, you know, Xi was giving him orders about what to do. So we're winning slightly in Michigan, which is good, which is precisely how we won in 2016. Same thing. He's also going to Wisconsin. Wisconsin's always a toss-up state. I know in 2020, the Washington Post had us down 17 the week before the election, to which I told President Trump at the time it was voter suppression. They were hoping our voters didn't come out. But now the voters in Wisconsin were slightly ahead there, too. So his trip to Green Bay should be productive. And he's talking about also immigration, because you had a terrible crime in Grand Rapids, yeah, where an illegal immigrant stabbed someone, killed her, et cetera. And you're seeing this crime wave across America, whether it's illegal immigrants or whether it's in New York, you've had these criminals out on cashless bail, where they're killing our, you know, our police officers and as well as people throughout the country. So the middle class has had it with Joe Biden, and you know, they're listening to Donald Trump. They want Donald Trump to win this election. Biden, they're spending $30 million in the seven battleground states right now, the Biden campaign. And Donald Trump going there will get the press attention, will get the attention on the ground, that the voters will hear his message, and hopefully will continue to lead there.
Yeah, Biden campaign is definitely feeling the heat, especially with respect to traditionally Democrat voters like Hispanics and Black Americans. Donald mm-hmm. Trump has made a serious play and is making a serious cut into both of those demographics. If that's the case, and that continues until November, where does Joe Biden pick up votes?
He's just trying to get the old Obama coalition back together, because it's certainly faded. And it's not just like when you look at the polls, like our last national poll, we had Trump ahead by 6, 49-43. You have other polls like the Fox News poll has Trump ahead by 5, et cetera. So Trump's still leading in the national average. But when you look at those polls and you break down, like in our polls that's on our website on McLaughlinOnline.com, there's basically 4 or 5% that voted for Biden in 2020, because that poll has more Biden 2020 voters than Trump 2020 voters. There's 4 or 5% that voted for Biden back in 20 that's undecided. There's another 4 or 5% that voted for Biden in 2020 that's now voting for Trump. So there is a Trump 2024 voter that voted for Biden in 2020, and they're a quarter Hispanic, they're a quarter Black, and their average age is 35. They are younger voters who are fed up with the idea of inflation. They can't afford to rent apartments on their own. They can't afford to buy a new car or a used car, which is up a third since when Trump was president. And they can't afford a mortgage payment that's double than when Trump was in office as president. So you're getting younger voters, African-Americans, Hispanics leaving the Democrat coalition and coming to Donald Trump right now.
That's really remarkable. Democrats can't seem to listen or hear or feel the pain of America. Americans are clamoring for a border solution. They get a gender X on immigration forms today, not a border security problem. They're asking for dealing with crime. They get more no bail provisions. They're asking for inflation to be eased and we get more government spending. It seems like the Democrats are under the influence of their own political morphine. Why can't they see what Jim Carville sees, which is their policies are really making Americans mad?
Well, because Biden's been abducted by the radical left. I mean, they call themselves progressives, but that's too kind a word. They're socialists. They're big government socialists. And what they want to do is they want to tell us what to do. They want to control us. And they want us to, the truth, they want it to go away. They're tearing down our institutions. I mean, what was really the most, I mean, Easter was tone deaf where they were doing this transgender stuff on the most serious Christian holiday, Catholic holiday, of the year. They're basically insulting them. But the real tone deafness was while Donald Trump went to New York to pay his respects to the young widow and her family of a police officer who was killed by a criminal who should have been in jail, but was let go because of the cashless bail Democrats in New York. While Donald Trump went to pay his respects, Joe Biden was bragging about his fundraiser with Barack Obama and Bill Clinton in Manhattan, where they were hanging out with these billionaires to raise $25 million, et cetera. And they couldn't even take the time to make a phone call. They couldn't show any sympathy for the police. They couldn't show any support for the police because it's against the left-wing doctrine where they want to really release criminals and they're tearing down our institutions in the country, whether it's religion, whether it's law and order, whether it's middle-class values. They really have no respect for the working men and women of America. And, it's a shame. And it's a stark contrast with what's going on right now. In the presidential race between Donald Trump and Joe Biden.
That's for sure.
Yeah, I think tone deaf is exactly right. Back in January, a DNC activist named Aaron Strauss circulated a memo among, I think, a dozen or so BDDs, big dollar Democrat donors. And the tone of the email was a little bit hair on fire because he said, guys, we have to stop registering young voters because we are actually sending them to Trump. They're voting for Trump. Are you finding that as well?
Yes, we're seeing that. That's why I was saying the voters that are switching to Trump, their average age is 35. So, you know, that, which means the average age of a voter is usually around 50 years old. So this is, we're getting the generation, Z people coming in because, they want opportunities. They don't want to be told, you know, they endured the lockdown, which was, you know, a really bad time for young people in America, because if you were in high school when what should have been a great time, all of a sudden your prom's canceled, you can't go to class anymore, they're teaching you remote, you're falling behind in your studies. And then you go to college and they're locking you down there and you have to take vaccines, they're mandating it. Or if you're going to work, you're not finding the opportunities that the generation before you had. So those voters are definitely coming to Donald Trump on the promise that things will get better, that inflation will be reduced, that they won't have to worry about losing their jobs to illegal immigrants. And that's going on in the country right now. It's going on all across the country. And they won't have to worry about opportunities that they'll be missed in terms of just the freedom of buying a car or a truck or being able to live on your own, whether it's an apartment rental that's affordable or whether it's a home. So, you know, they want the American dream restored. They don't want it taken away. And under Joe Biden, there's no dream. It's only a nightmare. It's really bad right now.
Yeah, pretty remarkable. John, you always have great polling. I want to ask you about two dynamics. One, a poll that you did recently, a large majority of Americans believe Joe Biden is trying to get Donald Trump convicted and put in prison before the election. I thought that was one of the most interesting questions I've seen in a long time. And two, Donald Trump is talking about winning New York. I assume there must be some polling data that gives him that confidence.
Well, the first one on the national poll that we put out that's on our website, you know, Biden was talking about Navalny, et cetera. But here he is, you know, he's the Putin of America, where he's trying to put Donald Trump in jail. I mean, Alexei Navalny was the brave opposition leader to Putin, and Putin had him put in jail, and ultimately he was killed. And here you got Joe Biden, you know, directing the prosecution because we have, in the same poll, you have 58% of all voters say Joe Biden playing a role in these indictments, and they're political, and they're saying there's a double standard in America. And 56 to 30%, the majority of Americans, say he's trying to put Trump in jail to stop him from winning the election. And then you have in New York, a state like New York, where a lot of this is going on, where Letitia James, the attorney general, instead of prosecuting criminals, she's trying to confiscate Donald Trump's wealth, take away his real estate holdings. And for no real crime, because there's no victims, the banks made money. He paid all his loans back on time. They railroaded him in the courts. And now they're about to start with Alvin Bragg, who's the Manhattan DA, who when the cops get beat up in Times Square by Venezuelan gangs who are here illegally, what do? They let the gangs go, and the cops are, you know, get beat up. And so he's going to prosecute Trump next on some phony charges. So you've got Jack Smith. You've got Fannie Willis in Atlanta. They're all coordinating with the Biden White House.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Report. So grateful you can join. Thanks for spending some time with us. A big thank you to Congressman Davidson and John McLaughlin for two really interesting interviews. I think you walk away a little bit armed with new information you might not have had. That's what we try to do every day here on the show and at justthenews.com. We'll be back tomorrow with more programming. Until then, God bless you. Have a great night.